1 year equals to 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,765 hours, and 525,949 minutes. That's how long my Nana has been dead. Fact. According to Kubler-Ross, there are 5 stages of grief. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, guilt, and acceptance. Fact. Over the last year, I've kind of gotten stuck between those last 2 stages. Fact. If one more person asks me how are you, I might just punch him in the throat. Or cry. Depends on the day. Logically, I get it. My brain understands the fact that she's physically absent from the world, but logic doesn't mend a mourner's heart. Supposedly only time can do that. What a bunch of bullshit. Time only places a filter over what was once a sharp, debilitating agony. It doesn't heal anything. Time dulls the pain into an ache, but the wound never goes away. You just learn to deal with it after a while, until some reminder of its cause rears its ugly head. Fact. Ambulances are my ugly reminders. I've only been in an ambulance once, but I relive the ride every time I hear the scream of one's approaching siren. The confusion. Should I sit in the back with Nana and the EMTs, or in the front with the driver? No, I don't know the names of her medications. No, I can't say for sure what medical condition she's diagnosed with. And the silence broken only by the driver's quiet comments. We're going to take the highway. I know it seems longer, but the ride will be easier on her. Like he was afraid the next syllable out of his mouth might send me into a fit of hysterics. I don't know why he worried. I've been numb since the time I got that call from my mother 30 minutes earlier. I was on my way home when my cell phone rang. It didn't surprise me. I've been expecting her call from when she'd phoned earlier to ask if I'd heard from Nana that day, and I pulled over to the bank to answer it. Rebecca! Rebecca! Her voice was shrill through the speaker of my cell phone. I remember feeling my stomach twist in anxious knots. I'd never heard her voice so frightened. Mama, what's wrong? Where's Nana? I interrogated, trying to keep myself calm. She needed the stern composure. Maybe I did too. I could hear her panting breaths in my ear as she tried to speak with some form of coherency, but she'd already dissolved into tears. Mama! I don't know how I kept my voice so stern. What happened? You were at work when you called me earlier. Are you at Nana's? Is she okay? I called Dad on the way. Mama's biological dad lived only 5 minutes from my Nana's house. They'd have been divorced for years, but we all knew he still loved her, even after his abusive alcoholism had pushed her away. Her words began to blur as she tried to rush the explanation along. He was here when I got here, and he said the storm door was locked. He tried hollering and knocking, but she wouldn't answer. I yanked it open. It's probably broken now. I don't know. And we're looking, but... She paused, and I heard my grandfather give a shout in the background. Oh, God, she beseeched. I heard her running in the next second. What is it? I asked, free hand gripping the steering wheel until my knuckles drained of color. She's in the bathroom. Oh, Lord, please. She's on the floor. I could hear the rusty turn of a tap, and the sudden silence of the previous roaring background noise helped me realize that the faucet had been on. Oh, my God. Is she okay? Mama, is she okay? Desperation was clawing its way up my chest, closing off my throat, choking me. Somehow, though, my voice stayed steady. I don't know! She was crying, and I knew I'd lost her attention when she began yelling, Mom! Mama! Can you hear me? Mama! 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 Call an ambulance, I ordered, but she wasn't listening. I hung up the phone and made a 40-minute drive to my Nana's in 20. The numbness was creeping in by the time I arrived. Mama must have found the clarity to phone 911 because the ambulance was there when I drifted my old 98 Lexus into the driveway, tire spitting gravel. I barely had the sense to cut the car off before I was running up the front porch stairs and into my grandma's little single-wide trailer. Yeah, the driver didn't have anything to worry about with me. Not strong. Numb. Rebecca. I didn't even break down when my mother clung to the back of my shirt, our traditional roles as parent and child reversed, as I held her sobbing figure close, whispering reassurances and uttering the lie that all mourners eventually come to understand. It's gonna be okay. I'm supposed to be comforting you, she'd sobbed into my neck, her tears tracing rivers down my throat to soak the collar of my shirt. Stop it, I shushed, tightening my arms around her waist. She'd never seemed so small before. It's different to see EMTs in action instead of on the television. The numbness was still draped around me when the ambulance and I arrived at the hospital. I watched them rush my grandmother's gurney through the emergency care entrance without so much as the burn of unshed tears. When I got the chance to see her again hours later and the nurse explained the initial prognosis, she had a severe stroke, which led to a heart attack. We'll need to run some more tests soon. You can come visit her again in the ICU. The detachment was there. It stuck around as I explained to my late-arriving family members the situation. Fact. I knew my Nana was going to die before the rest of my family even dared to think it. It's what kept me emotionless while everyone else battled Kubler-Ross's first stage.